Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Basari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Chaitanya Upanayanam. Then Natya Shastra, chapter 27, Success of a Dramatic Production. Is thinking on that point of the knowledge and the prana, you know, and then that, then there's action. So the jiva is a doer because of having those qualities. So then Dhritarashtra is wrong because he has knowledge, but he's not using it. But he's applying prana. He's applying energy, but not with knowledge. And so therefore he'll get a bad result. He can't blame that on faith. Right? He has a knowledge of what to do, and he's getting good advice, but no one's giving, but he's not taking it. And he's blaming fate. Well, it makes me this way. Duryodhana does the same. You know, fate made me bad, and so I'm acting bad. Why is anybody surprised? But what he's not taking is that if you act bad, you get a bad result. He's not willing to accept that part of the equation.
So yesterday we discussed knowledge as jnana, and then vijnana is an application of knowledge.
Yes.
So then in this sense, he has a knowledge in sambandha, but in abhidhaya it doesn't happen. Somehow,
yes.
He just blames it on the third party.
Yes.
So he's not involved in abhidhaya, not in the proper way.
Yes.
So that remains, the jnana remains, just sits in the sambandha.
Yeah, so he doesn't take advantage. And if you have knowledge and don't use it, then you call the miser.
Right.
Right? So that's why he's said, many times you see it said he's miserly.
Right.
Because he's actually a Rajarshi. He has all the knowledge. That's why you see when anybody talks about what should be done technically and with all the Shastra things, he really likes that. As long as the conclusion is not that he has to control his son. But anything else, he's really willing to hear. Like that. And so, because you'll see is that whenever he laments, which is very often, is that he's always talking all the philosophy. Like that. And then he'll just reverse it, and then, you know, what could I do? Like that. Yeah, so if you don't apply it, that's where the foolishness is. That's where the miserliness is. So one has to be trained, and one has to apply. Yes?
We see the same with the Hiranyakashipu after the death of his brother.
Yes.
He's like expert pacifying his family members.
Yes.
As long as it doesn't touch his own personal behavior.
Yes.
Which is hostility towards Vishnu.
Right.
But otherwise, he knows all the details and, you know, cause and effect. He explains it all.
Mm.
But then his own behavior, it's a separate matter that
yes.
he can't really deal with it.
Yes. Well, yeah, no, it's very far out. Huh? You just, everything about everybody, you're blind to yourself, you know. Yeah, because of attachment. That's the problem with the samskaras. You'll do everything because of you. He has an idea how he'll be the supreme controller. And so, but if he's the supreme controller, that means no one else is the supreme controller. So he can explain to everyone else how they're not the supreme controller. And it'll be exact according to philosophy, Shastra, and everything. But when it comes to himself, that's where the problem will come up, because he has that impression about how being the controller is a very important thing for him. But, Okay. Success of a dramatic production, Natya Siddhi. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having dealt extensively with the four kinds of Abhinaya in the previous chapters, the current chapter deals with Natya Siddhi, success of production of a play, which involves assessment of the drama based on the response from the audience and the faults transpired during the enactment of the play. Right? So in other words, you put on the production, then you're going to see, how did it go? How did the audience respond and everything like that? Bharat Muni states that Natya Siddhi is of two types. One, Daiva Siddhi, and two, Manushi Siddhi. If the spectators show their approval by verbal or physical gestures during the enactment of the play, it is considered Manushi Siddhi, human success. But if they are spellbound and watch the performance without any noise or interruption, it is to be considered Daivi Siddhi, divine success.
Okay.
You know? So I guess it's an interesting thing is that somehow or another in America, then the audience, if they act in this Manushi Siddhi, it's considered perfectly normal. It's all right. But in Europe, then they expect this Daivi Siddhi. They don't like it when, it's like they're performing, doing a performance and something in music and something's nice, and then in America, they'll clap. Well, in Europe, that'll be considered uncultured, and you wait till the end. Then. But the point is, yeah, they're spellbound. It's like also you see sometimes you have prasad, and then everybody's talking in the beginning. It means it's nice. But if there's nothing, not a word, for like 5 minutes, you're thinking, is something wrong? That's Daivi Siddhi. Well, even then, but it's still, you see, there's a difference. Sometimes when the thing, everything's so nice, just nobody talks. And then after a few minutes, then they start talking, and then they're all, very much laughing. Yes?
This is what in Greek they call it catharsis.
Ah.
When they're spelled out. In a sense of drama.
Okay, yeah. No.
It's a complete focus.
Complete focus, okay.
So they have this, but in America it's just, you got to express your emotions as soon as they come, otherwise you don't know.
Yeah, that you might forget, or everyone gets mental, they like it, don't like it. And
so it's Greek means higher culture.
Yeah.
That's the origin of all the Europeans.
Yes. Okay, that's it. But they call it catharsis.
Catharsis.
Yeah, because somehow or another in America, catharsis means, getting it off your chest, bringing it out. So the difference in understanding of what catharsis is.
Yeah, well, that's catharsis in the drama.
Yeah.
In performance.
Yeah.
Initially, when I read the description, I didn't catch it. Why is it telling that, no? Daivi Siddhi is, like in the translation, Daivi Siddhi is without noise and all.
Right.
And Manushi Siddhi is when, you get up and you give your shawl. I couldn't catch. Then I went to that means they are spellbound.
They're spellbound. That's the whole point.
So then I added that word, spellbound.
It means what you can do is after, to watch a poem without any noise or interruption, you can put in practice, being spellbound. It is considered. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole point. Also, if you see, but the point is they're completely focused.
Yeah.
Now, if you see as they're making no noise or anything like that and they're not focused, you notice that somehow or another there's more light in the audience than on the stage, and they're all looking at their phones. The chapter also elaborates on the four types of interruption in a play, qualifications of judges and audience, right time of the day when plays are to be produced, and finally the merits of a dramatic production. Shloka Nisharanam. Or is this the last chapter?
In this
section. Okay. Shloka Nisharanam, 1 through 18, success in a dramatic production. 19 to 29, obstacles in the production of a play. 30 to 44, substantial sources of flaws. 45 to 48, limitation of human efforts in a play. 49 to 62, qualifications of an ideal spectator. Right, because the spectator also has to have some qualification. 63 to 86, qualification of assessors and guidelines for proper judgment. You know, what the, you know, those who critique the thing, what is their qualification? Like that. 87 to 96, appropriate time for dramatic performances. 97 to 104, points of merit in a performance. Verses 1 to 18, success in a dramatic production. I shall now describe the features of the two kinds of success, siddhi, relating to drama. For the production of a drama is wholly meant for obtaining success in it. Right? Otherwise, why perform it? Right? It's not money. It's the success that the people are absorbed. Success in the dramatic production, which arises from words, sattva, and gestures, is of two kinds. Daiva, daiviki, and human, manushi, and relates to various emotional states and sentiments. Human success. Of these two, the human success has 10 features, and the divine success, 2. And they consist mostly of various sattvas expressed vocally, manmayi, and physically, shariri. So I guess that's why the daiva has 2, because vocally and physically are quiet. Right? Vocal success. So okay, vocal success. These are physical
success.
Okay, these are the human, and then the dake. So within the... this is the inhuman. Okay. Vocal success. Slight smile, smita, smile, ardahasa, and excessive laughter, atihasa. Excellent, sadhu, how wonderful, aho, means, you know, they'll say these things. Excellent, excellent. How wonderful. And how pitiable, kashtam, you know, when something in the drama is... goes wrong. Oh, how pitiable. And tumultuous applause. Pravridhanada are the signs of success expressed vocally. Vanmayi. So that means then the drama that Prabhupada performed, that got Daivi success. Because everyone was just quiet. So they weren't sure.
It was maybe an easy audience.
Huh?
Maybe the audience was different than from now.
No. We're saying he got the divey.
No, but I said that maybe Srila Prabhupada, when he performed drama, the audience was more qualified.
That's there, but this is going back in time. No, it just meant that the drama was so good. They were so absorbed in Chaitanya Leela that they just completely forgot themselves. Mm-hmm. Are the signs of success expressed vocally? Vanmayi. Right? Yeah. Physical success. Joy expressed in horripilation, the rising up from the seat and the giving away of clothes, chela dana, and throwing of rings, angulik shepa, are signs of success expressed physically, shariri. Yeah, because sometimes that, you know, they'll throw things on the stage and stuff like that. Like you see it sometimes in, I think you see it, what do you call it? You know, after sometimes these formal performances and all that, you know, then, they'll bring up, flowers will come up for whoever's like the main singer and things like that. Or sometimes in the, I don't know, I think it's more, I don't know if it's in Europe, but I think in Russia, I think, or where when they're doing the ice skating, after the performance is really good, they throw flowers onto the ice.
Yeah.
Like that. So that would be physical.
Because you're not allowed to step on.
Yeah.
Well, so this should be done by only qualified people. Says.
Only
qualified.
Everybody.
Who will like the chadar from? Who will like a chadar from an ordinary person?
Yeah, yeah. It needs to be like a, you know, a nice pashmina satosh, you know, like that. Yeah.
Also, if the king is giving his, then
special. Yeah, then it means something.
Ordinary person.
He gives one of these blankets and the blanket comes flying onto the stage. Yeah. Yeah. When actors produce the comic sentiment slightly dependent on words of double entendre, the spectator should always receive the same with a slight smile. When they, the actors, have a laugh not very clear or words which do not directly cause laughter, the spectators are always to receive the same with a smile, arda hasya. Laughter created by the bragging of the gesture or by some artifice, shilpa, should always be received by the spectators with an excessive laughter, ati hasya. You know, it has to somebody says something very slight and somebody says cracking up, you know, everybody will think it's wrong. But if it's, you know, yeah. So it matches what's on the stage. Representation of deeds which relate to practice of virtue and endowed with excellence should be greeted by the spectators with the word excellent, sadhu. Similarly, how wonderful is naturally uttered by the spectators in connection with emotional states like astonishment, vishmaya, and to express great joy and the like. But in the compassion sentiment, they should utter with tears, how pitiable. And in cases of astonishment, there should always be a tumultuous applause. Pravridhanada. Thus, through interrupting explanation and by horripilation, the assembly of spectators are to demonstrate profusely their internal commotion due to a sense of wonder. The play has a plot containing burning hostility, cutting and piercing of limbs, fight, portentous calamity, terrific happening, or minor personal combat. It should be received by the expert spectators with tears and rising up from the seat, and with shaking of the shoulder and head. This is the manner in which the human success should be expressed. Now listen about the divine success, which I'm going to describe. Right? And so then this would be, you know, it's also the trained audience and all that. I've seen it at musical performances, you know, classical music. Because I think especially it was not at the general ones. You don't see so much occasionally at those. But sometimes they have a performance that's just for people who know music. So it's a very small audience. It's not these big, huge, like, stadiums. There's only like 100 people there, 50 people there. And you'll see they're constantly doing these things that, you know, how wonderful or this or that, or, you know. And then afterwards they come and they give things and everything and like that. So you do, at least it has been seen.
I remember a few years ago, I think it was from Bhagavatam, we are discussing the fact of, for example, somebody is giving a nice class, a nice presentation.
Right.
Usually in the West we clap. But it was mentioned that we say sadhu, sadhu. Hmm?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're always saying sadhu, sadhu, something really nicely said is sadhu, sadhu. That means excellent, excellent. Yeah, but that means it can also be. No, that's what's going on.
It's more refined.
Yeah, but it's also what's going on. They generally hear us at the end, but sometimes if it comes up, then that's just, you know, who you're dealing with, and that's how it works. You know, is that, you know, like that. Divine success. The success in dramatic production, which includes an excessive display of the sattva and a clear expression of the emotional states, is to be taken by the spectators as divine, daivi. When there is no noise, no disturbance, no unusual occurrence during the production of a play, and the auditorium is full of spectators, the success, I guess, is called divine. Yeah, it just means it's just people are just so, you know, what was the thing? Wonderstruck? What was the?
Absorbed.
Spellbound, yeah, just that they just don't respond. It's just so. These are the varieties of success to be known by the spectators as human and divine. I shall speak hereafter of the obstacles, gata, coming from the gods, deva. Okay. Verses 19 to 29, obstacles in the production of a play. Obstacles in the production of a play are of three kinds: that coming from gods, from the actors themselves, Atman, and from an enemy, Para. Sometimes a fourth variety of it is what comes up due to portentous calamity. Obstacles from gods. Obstacles from gods are strong wind, fire, rain, stroke of lightning, appearance of ants, insects, a beast, etc. Yeah, if suddenly, you know, an elephant goes running through the audience, then you know that is obstacle from the gods. But you do sometimes get these. Big storm, sometimes a fire breaks out, these things. It just means that production, you know, is being stopped by the gods. Obstacles from an enemy. Obstacles created by an enemy are all around screaming, buzzing, vishotita, noisy clapping, you know, in other words, it's inappropriate. Throwing of cow dung. Okay. Now that's actually better, because in the West you throw old cabbages and stuff like that, tomatoes. Huh? Yeah, rotten tomatoes. Here you throw cow dung, right? At least it's purifying. Clods of earth, okay. Grass and stones in the place of performance. Obstacles create. So it appears that in some of these old medieval dramas that there was lots of obstacles from enemies. Obstacles created by an enemy are considered by the wise to be due to jealousy, hostility to the party injured, or being partial to one to the party's enemy, or receiving bribe from the latter. Arta beta, right? So then they get a bribe from one's enemy, and then they throw stuff on the stage and disturb your performance. Obstacles due to portents. Obstacles resulting from portents, au patika, are those due to earthquake, storm, the falling of meteors, and like. Self-made articles, because these are all things that intimate something. Right? Does that make sense? Before, you just have a strong wind and all that. Because it could also be this a similar kind of thing.
Three kinds. But this is like a special. Some people consider it's different. That's why he mentioned.
Yeah, it's basically three. So it can be different. But it can also be obstacles from gods. Because same. But what he's meaning is that they're in connection with portents rather than just like that. Because it's mentioned when you're doing class and that in the Veda. Then when you get a storm coming up or these things, you just stop the class. And then you're supposed to start. Then you wait till that time the next day. You know, is that what I'm saying? So there's something happened now. You know, this is what, at 8:25. So if a frog went hopping in between here, then you're supposed to technically stop the class until tomorrow at 8:25. Okay. Then you can start again. That's for Veda.
Okay.
They're just portents that just means no one's the class won't work. So with devotees, where you're discussing Bhagavatam and these kind of things, it doesn't matter.
Otherwise, you'd be stopped all the time.
Yeah, you see the kids that always bring frogs. Yeah, but I've noticed, because I once had a class where we were doing the Vedic verses, and you had boys that were older and initiated, and boys that were younger and not. And when the frog went by, the little kids, that their focus was completely gone. The older ones, it wasn't. You know, so you can see is that because by devotion, but if you didn't have that aspect, it would just be gone. So they're just things that just there's no point in having the class. There's some reason that you don't have the class. But we don't worry about those things. But it's a very major thing. Manu gives a whole section on it. So it's the same. So then some will consider that to be here, but as Bharat Muni's just saying, well, that's all obstacles from gods. You know, here is kind of like you can't do. The other one you might be able to do, but people, you know, it's just if the falling meteors, people are seeing that and they get all start worried, and then they get then you can't run. You know, you have an earthquake or a storm, then you know.
Pompeii.
That would be definitely put a stop to the. Did they have anyone doing drama at the time that were on stage? Or just you just saying? Okay. Yeah, that's a specific Napoli occurrence, right? Self-made obstacles, right? So that means from the actors. I shall now describe obstacles arising from the actors themselves. Atma, samuta, unnaturalness in the acting. Wrong movement of the actors, unsuitability of a role to an actor, vibhum I katva. Right, so you have to see is that what actor is doing what part that is suitable to them, because everybody will have their expertise in what area they can do, so they should do those things. Something other than that, then won't work. Yeah. Loss of memory of the actors. Right, you can't remember the lines. Speaking other words. Anyavachana, i.e. those not in the play. They just start improvising. Actors cry of distress due to tiredness. Want of proper hand movements. Vihastatva, falling off of the crown and other ornaments. Defects in playing the drums, shyness in speech, laughing too much and crying too much are to be taken as obstruction to success. Because if these come up, the whole production just falls apart. Yeah, and then what it is here, what is it? When the falling off of the crown and other ornaments, then you get from the audience then that, you know, laughing and, you know, excessive laughing and possibly, yeah. Serious obstacles. Attack of insects and ants, wholly spoils of success. Because then no one can sit. Right? While the falling off of the crown and other ornaments giving rise to the tumultuous noise and thus spoils the production. Killing of animals creates hindrance to the production. Right, so if some beast comes into there and starts going around and so it's disturbing people, so then they kill the animal, then that's going to also stop the whole thing. And the falling off of the crown spoils the excellence. Right, so one is it spoils the production because just the presentation is bad, but it also spoils because everybody reacts so strongly. Right? Is it?
So, Maharaj, I have a side question. You know, when someone is, for example, killing animals, like a mosquito, like that, when you are like...
It depends if it's on your head or someone else's head. It's the guy next to you, and you... No, it means killing animals. That may be there, but it specifically means when a beast, that's what I mentioned before, a beast comes in.
Means...
Let's say you're sitting in the performance like that and a wild boar comes running in and all that. So then people are going to get up, moving around. Then because it's attacking, someone's going to kill it, you know, like that. And so that throws off the performance.
And if the dog comes in?
The dog comes in. Depends who the audience is. Yeah, it just means, in any case, it comes in, then you have to catch it and throw it outside and... It's going to disrupt the whole thing. You know, or a rat comes in and everybody, getting up and running around.
For example, when you are giving a class, and I have a personal example. 2 years ago, I was in Africa, and I was teaching something, and actually it was many mosquitoes.
Right.
And everyone, when this, and it was like maybe 10 times in a class, you know, they were killing mosquitoes.
Right.
And I was surprised because here we respect a little more mosquitoes.
Well, it's probably because they actually live with them while we don't.
Respect mosquitoes.
Yeah, no, it's just there. Right. That could be. Point is it still it makes a distraction.
Yes.
But I think here they're talking more about
bigger
animals coming in. Yeah. But yeah, if it's there, then yeah, it's a disturbance. Point is it's a disturbance because the audience is busy with something else rather than this. So then, you know, burn some smoke.
You respect the mosquitoes by sending them off.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, no, here. But if taken down voluntarily...
Yes, Maharaj,
that
is wrong.
Hmm? Yeah, this will spoil one quarter of the production. What does that mean, taken down?
Crown. If it is falling off, then you just take it down. Because it's loose, then if the actor himself take it down...
So it doesn't fall off?
It doesn't fall off,
yeah.
Then it doesn't spoil that much. Like,
oh, it's only one quarter instead of like completely.
Yeah. Because many times actors, those are very specialists, anything wrong is happening, they adjust the scene by making it like... You know,
as part of the thing.
But everybody understands it's not the part of the scene, but still...
He's done it well, okay. But then you should say, if voluntarily taking down the crown is spoiling one quarter. But shy speech of the actors and the wrong playing of drums will, however, wholly spoil success.
Yes.
The two kinds of obstacles which cannot be remedied in the production of a play are faults due to a natural calamity and the running out of water from the nadika, a water instrument used for measurement of time.
I think, Maharaj, at this point, that nadika is the time up to which a particular act has to be performed.
Right.
And then if the time sense is not there, then
it just goes over time and gets extended, yes, and just ruins it. So in other words, it has to be within a time. They can't just take forever.
Yes, yes.
You know, if something's missed, then they just have to move on.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Verses 30 to 44. Substantial sources of flaws. Right? In other words, you can't go over the time. If it's supposed to end at a certain time, you can't go over that. Otherwise, people, even though the thing went nice, they get worried about the time, they get grumpy. You know, they'll say it went over. That, the only thing they'll remember is it went over time. You know. Verses 30 to 44. Substantial source of flaws. Flaws in a play are caused by repetition, defective use of compound words, wrong use of case endings, want of proper euphonic combination, use of incoherent words, faulty use of three genders, confusion between direct and indirect happenings, lapse in meter, interchange of long and short vowels, right? Because that interchange of long and short changes the meaning of what you're talking about. So then people don't know what you're talking about. So the point is, if the audience becomes confused, all these will confuse the audience, right? And observing wrong, caesura. What is caesura?
I always forget. It is an English word only, Maharaj.
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of...
Greek and Latin, a break between words with a metrical foot.
Okay. Okay, so the break, when you break between the words, where you put the emphasis too much.
Also like...
Where you break, it ruins it, unless that's just the, you know, unless it's Chandler or something.
Right? When we say a verse, we stop in between and then again we have like four.
So you break at the wrong points. Or even while you're speaking, you just make the break at the wrong point and then continue, so... Okay. So you can put a footnote or something for that. Absence of various notes, of sweetness of notes, and of wealth of notes, and ignorance of voice registers and of tempo will disturb musical rules in the production of a play. Right. So you leave out notes, you don't put them together properly, you don't know how to use the different voices, like you have the regular voice, and then you have the falsetto, and then I think you have in the head, like that. You have all these different ranges, like that, and so you use them wrongly. It'll be. Non-observance of sama, marga, and margina. So it means it has to be proper, you know, the proper movement of how music and everything works. Giving hard strokes, like you just suddenly do something hard in the music that shouldn't be there, that throws it off. And ignorance about the right way of beginning and the stopping will spoil the music of drums. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you don't know where to end or where to start. You know, it's supposed to be the beat here, and you don't. And you kind of like this, and kind of it'll just throw it off. Because people will know this. You have an educated audience. Mm-hmm. And so then these things, it will disturb it for anybody. But they'll especially think, oh, that's wrong. And that, so they're thinking about that rather than the acting. Well, that was just supposed to back it up. Omission due to loss of memory and defective enunciation of speeches, putting on ornaments in wrong places, falling off of the crown, not putting on some ornament, and ignorance about mounting or dismounting chariots, elephants, horses, asses, camels, palanquins, aerial cars, vimanas, and vehicles in general, or confusion about these. Right? So it means you don't, because people know how you get in and out, so you do it in the wrong way. I said, that's not how you get in. And so instead of enjoying the performance, that they're thinking about, did you see that? That's not how you get in. Wrongly holding or using weapons and armors, right? You know, so, yeah. Entering the stage without the crown. He's the king he's supposed to have and he doesn't have. He forgot it. Right? Or decoration or entering too late. Right? So whatever the decoration that you enter too late, you know, it throws it off. Right? Yeah. Are the obstacles which should be marked in proper places by the clever experts. But they should leave out of consideration the sacrificial post. Fixing up of the firewood, kusha grass, ladle, and other vessels related to sacrifice. So what does it mean about these not should leave out the consideration of sacrificial post? So they're just saying those may be put wherever they're put or dealt with. Because the only thing is most likely, unless someone's a shroud to Brahman, because this one exactly goes over here. You know, you take the thing here, you hold it like this, and then you put it like this, and then after that, then it's put down over on this side, and then this one's put on this side. Those, unless you're a shroud to Brahman, you won't know it. So they're just trying to show that Vishishta did a big yajna and that, so they'll bring the things and put the things down and do a bit of swaha like this and that. You don't worry about that. That seems to make sense. Because the other ones are really ridiculously technical. Which spoon is used for what and which mantra, and if you get into karmakanda, you know. It's like, you know, for us it's pretty easy, but for the karmis, oh, it's ridiculous. Three grades of flaws. An expert in dramatic production should record obstacles as mixed, misra, total, sarvagata, and partial, eka desha saja. Total. Yes. But should not record merely success or obstacles without any detailed information about these. Right? You don't just say it's successful or it's not. You have to say why. Because otherwise then... Total success or an all-around failure expresses itself in many ways, but a matter affecting merely one aspect of the production should not be reckoned for lowering the order of excellence. You know, one little thing you shouldn't, you know, like there he's saying, the crown falls off, but he takes it off nicely and like that, or a crown falls off and he somehow or another says a line that recovers it. It's a fault, but it shouldn't be taken as otherwise. After the putting down of the jarjara by the director, what's the jarjara?
It's the
that big funny guy with the big nose and long ears. That
no,
one?
Maharaj.
No.
Jarjara is the flag. The, what do you call it? Vijayadvaja.
Oh, flag, okay.
It's of Indra, the flag.
Oh, okay. So it means at the end of the performance, the flag is brought down. Okay. After putting down the jarjara by the director in a dramatic production, the assessors, prashnika, should always achieve in due manner the accuracy of timing and recording of flaws as well as good points. So it's only afterwards they should record, not during.
Yes.
Right? Because let's say if you record during, then you can find so many flaws, but if you didn't record them before, at the end of the drama, all these things you might think, oh, that didn't matter. It was such a nice presentation. That's how it should be looked at. Because otherwise, if everything all the way through they're doing, you have to see all the way at the end. You know? So same way, because then you'll have a different flavor. You know, it's just like if I note everything down, and then I get to the end, but it was all right, I'll tend to get into all those details. You know, it was nice, but this. Well, if I don't make any notes until the end, then at the end, what was the overall flavor? In that context, I will point out the flaws.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it was a very nice performance. We had one thing where this, but then the actor very cleverly did this and that, so nothing was that. And so then people will be inspired by that. Oh, the actors are so good that even something goes wrong, they're able to correct it. You know, then that will be something to that they'll be inspired about. But if he just says, no, but the crown fell off and this and that, yes.
In our... school time, I just remember there was one lesson. We didn't have any lessons on drama, but there is one lesson on how to be witty in a dramatic stage. Means if something goes wrong, how do you cover it up? And then they give classical examples of some very well-known dramatists. How did they cover up if something falls off?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
I just remember it's a rangasthala. By samaya spurti. Samaya spurti means according to time you are.
Okay.
Rangasthala.
Okay. Nice.
So it's an art in itself.
Yes, yes. Yeah, just how to go with it. You know. Yeah.
Maharaj, yes, the assessors, they are like the critics.
Critics, yes, yes.
And they are part of according to the dramatic production, most are critics.
you know, they're part of the scene. I mean, if critics don't show up, it's fine. But then it should be that then those who, you know, the director himself, the you know, the other actors, the those who are producing and all these things, then they would then think about it and critique it. But it's only afterwards that you consider.
Yes, yes.
You know, you can't write it off before that. And if you do have a critic, you know, the assessors, then they shouldn't. They should be. You know, I say after the then they achieve the accuracy and all these things. Recording of, it says recording of flaws, so
yes.
It doesn't mean that the expression of flaws.
Yes.
Only after. That's the point. Is that let's say something. So many things go wrong, but if the end it came out fabulous, you just drop these. Yes. It doesn't matter. So that's why you have to record afterward, because if you didn't record before, it doesn't matter. But if you've already recorded, you're attached to your work.
Yes.
Oh, I wrote that down. I went to so much trouble.
Yes.
And so I have to express it. You know, maybe it's not so bad, and then they'll ruin it. So that's the difficulty with these things, is that sometimes they're making their notes all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you do it at the end.
Also, assessment, it's mentioned in the context of competition. Here he mentions when there is a competition, then how do you assess who is the best, and then based on that. Otherwise, in general, assessment is not like...
Yeah, but in modern, it's a occupation. You know, being a critic of these things.
So when you have to give awards, then how do you assess like that?
Yeah. But here they just, because, you know, they have newspapers and they need content, so there's guys that assess, you know, the dramatic, you know, any of these performing arts and visual arts, or then food, you know, especially fashion, you know, all these things. But they should wait till the end. You know, that seems to be the point here, is that see at the end, you know. Yeah, but flaws as well as good points. Because the point is you have to be, that you can point out flaws, that's, you know, it takes some education to know that, but to be able to point out the good points. So if someone can only show flaws and they can't show good points, then they're not actually a very good critic. You know? They should show, this is this, that's that, and so therefore overall it's this. You know, it's like 60, you know, these points were really good and excellent. Because it may be the good points were more good than the bad points were bad. There might be 10 bad points and there were 6 good points. Well, those 6 good points are so much stronger than those 10 bad points. You know, so it wouldn't be 40%. You know, it would be more. It would be 60%. You know, like that. So that's why they have to know good also. Otherwise, anybody can find fault.
Those critics are not even considered.
But in the modern thing,
yeah,
you always have them. You just like you see, one thing is there, performance is there, someone's praising it and this and that, and then at the very end you have the guy that says, usually the guy should get another job and like that, you know, should try, you know, try flipping burgers and that. What's he doing acting, you know, like, the, you know, stuff like that. And so you have those people. But if you ask them, is there anything good there, they can't point it out. So that's the point. They should not be critics. But it adds to the flavor of gossip, so... Wrong benediction. When during a god's festival anyone foolishly recites a benedictory shloka in honor of a wrong god, it is recorded as a flaw in the preliminaries. Right? So that's why it's easy for us. It's always about Krishna. So then we will not have wrong benediction. Interpolation is a blemish. When anyone interpolates the composition of one playwright into that of another, a blemish is to be recorded on its strength by the experts. When anyone knowingly interpolates in his play the name or work of another author, then his blemish in it being definite, no success should be recorded. So in other words, within him, he's already plagiarized from someone else. Like that. So you just don't bring in and you don't plagiarize. Disregard of locality. When anyone produces a play in disregard of costumes and languages belonging to a region, then his blemish relating to the rule of locality should be recorded. You know, because he's not considering his audience or what kind of things they would do, or, you know. So you have to see is that sometimes if there's a very strong thing that they do, let's say just like, let's say you're in South and you have a wedding, you know, then you're going to show the giving of the Mangala Sutra, you know, and then, you know, if other things aren't shown, then it's fine. Mm-hmm. Right? But in another place, then you have to show going around the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, or another one, then, you know, when they come to house, then I think they have a pot of rice, they kick over the rice, and in North they do that. These are things that do, or Rajasthan, the guy comes with his sword and, you know, hits something on his horse. You know, these things, then you bring that out, then everyone knows. You don't have to do the rest of the wedding. You just have to show that. So if you show a different one for there, it's kind of like, whoa, that, you know, it's like you come up on the horse and all that, and it's in South India. It's like, what's with the horse? You know, who's this guy? So that it's a flaw. Verses 45 to 48. Limitation of human efforts in a play. Who is able to observe perfectly the rules of constructing plays or producing them on the stage? Or who can be bold enough in mind to claim to understand properly all that have been said? Yes. Hence, one should include in play words which have deep significance, are approved of by the Vedas as well as the people, and are generally acceptable to all persons. And no play can be devoid of any merit or totally free from faults. Right? So if someone's trying, then no play is going to be totally bad, and no play is going to be totally good. You know, it's just like Yudhishthir and Duryodhana. Right? Hence, faults in the production of a play should not be taken to extremes. Right? Because you see sometimes the critics, they go to such a stream to this, and they're the worst thing, and, you know, I wasted my, you know, they really go for it in that. Just because they didn't, it's not the kind of thing they specifically. So don't go to those ones. You don't like romantic drama, don't go to them and then criticize. You only like the heroic ones and go to those. You know, like that. But the actor should not, for that reason, be careless about words. He shouldn't think, oh, nothing's perfect. No, he should be trying his best. Right? Not be careless about words, gestures, and costumes, as well as about representing the sentiments and emotional states, dance, vocal, and instrumental music, and popular usages of the same kind relating to the performance. So the actors themselves should be very focused to do everything perfect. Mm-hmm. But even though they're doing perfect, there's always going to be a flaw. Yes. Right? And the critic should know, you know, be able to tell where they're doing their best, but it didn't quite work out, and not just, you know, does that make sense? You know, yeah.
Perhaps at that time, the actor were like professional.
It could be. I would expect they're professional. I mean, the Vedic system, everybody's a professional. You know, that's the thing. Is now there's a certain limit as professional, but no, everyone's, because they're doing their profession. You know, so the guy sweeping the street, but he's a professional. You've seen them. They can go and how they can sweep and get everything up and pick it up and all that. Is, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it in the same way. Or like the probably says, like the cobbler, how he takes your shoe and fixes it. We wouldn't be able to. So they're professional. You know, you know, in the housewife's taking care of everything, that's a professional. Nowadays, it's no, only if you're in the office and it's corporate, then it's professional. No, it's that anyone doing their duties according to Varnashram, that's professional. So they're doing, they're artists, so naturally that's what they do. And, you know, people, because there's patrons take care and all that. Because you're only going to have art, basically, if there's patrons.
Yes.
If you want refined art. If you want schlock, then you go for corporate, and then, you know, it's hit and miss what you're going to get. You know, like nowadays, it's just off it makes money, then it's that's all. You have to make money. You don't necessarily have patrons. But, you know, some get them. Verses 49 to 62, qualifications of an ideal spectator. Now, you know, having heard all these things, we're thinking, yeah, these guys got to get it together. Now it comes down to us, right?
We need professional.
Yes, professional spectators. Right? It's like sometimes you have, I don't know, but some places you hear about it where they have professional women that go to funerals?
Yes.
Like that, and they go and cry and everything.
Yes.
You never heard? In some places in the world, there's certain ladies in the village.
Yes.
That doesn't matter what the funeral, they're brought and given a prominent place because they all cry and this. They know what to do to make, you know, bring out the whole mood and everything.
Yes,
like
yes,
that.
Yes.
You know, so.
South America.
South America.
I think.
There, but I also think in some places in Eastern Europe and stuff like that. Yeah, South and
yes,
like
south.
That, those places and those, like,
yes.
Have it. It's not an uncommon thing.
So they can give inspiration to the others.
Yeah. Give inspiration to the others and all that. And, you know, it's just like at a party, you're going to invite those people you think are going to make the party happen, like that. And, you know, even though they may not deserve to be there, but they're brought because they. So these are the rules of defining the characteristics of success. I shall hereafter describe that of an ideal spectator. Right. So then what? But those involved in the production, how they should be looking for success. And how those who are, you know, being the critics, because they can also be the critics in support of, you know, in other words, your own people who are finding fault and so you can improve, like that. Those who are possessed of good character, high birth, quiet behavior, and learning, are desirous of fame, virtue, or are impartial, advanced in age, proficient in drama in all its six limbs, alert, honest, unaffected by passion, expert in playing the four kinds of musical instruments, very virtuous, acquainted with the costumes and makeup, the rules of dialects, the four kinds of theatrical representation, grammar, prosody, and various other shastras, are experts in different arts and crafts, and have fine sense of the sentiments and emotional states, should be made spectators in witnessing a drama. Okay, so that basically cuts most all of us out. You know,
what is there to elevate if this audience is already so elevated?
But the point is this kind of audience, then you can means they can very much appreciate the finer sentiments and all that. While others, then they won't. You know, that's why you see in modern dramas and stuff, it has to get things that they say don't represent. Unless you represent, they don't find it interesting, you know, because they're not technically not qualified. So it's you have to please them rather than it's a cooperation. The actors are trying to do their best like that, but the audience is also in other words, you go to a drama to elevate your consciousness. You don't go to just get entertained. Yes?
Also, ideally, Maharaj, in the front, all these kind of personalities sit. And the rest of the people are part of the scene there at the back.
Okay.
They should not be causing any disturbance. There are people controlling them, but these are the people who are
just seeing all the big guys there. The guy goes left.
Yeah, in villages it's like that.
Okay, yeah. So in other words, those who are more qualified, they sit at the front. Who's going to appreciate and all that what you're doing, and then everybody else in the back, and then you have the peanut gallery, right?
And also the performers, all they worry about is pleasing these people.
Okay, if the others like or not like, then, you know,
matter.
Because they can, I say, pearls before swine, right?
These are the ones, anyhow, you're going to give them donations.
Okay, they're the ones standing up and giving chudders,
yes,
and this and that and stuff, and throwing rings and that, okay.
Others, they're part of the scene, they like, it's nice, they don't like, they don't care.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because the critic would also be from this group.
Yes.
Also, you wouldn't. So you can't be a critic unless you have these characteristics. Also, anyone who has unruffled senses is honest, expert in discussion of pros and cons, detector of faults and appreciator of merits, is considered fit to be a spectator in the drama. He who attains gladness on seeing a person glad, and sorrow on seeing him sorry, that feels miserable on seeing him miserable, is considered fit to be a spectator in a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All these various qualities, like, so in other words, the demigods, they're qualified to go to dramas, right? Because that's what the whole thing, Bharat Muni, was for.
Yes.
Brahma gave him to perform dramas for the demigods.
Yes.
Like that. I think we see in the end of the work about this. Yeah.
Okay.
All these various qualities are not known to exist in one single spectator. Hence, because objects of knowledge are so numerous, and the span of life is so brief. The inferior common persons in an assembly, which consists of superior, the middling, and the inferior members, cannot be expected to appreciate the performance of the superior ones. And hence, an individual to whom a particular dress, profession, speech, and act belong as his own should be considered fit for appreciating the same. So, in other words, the person who's not so developed, he'll appreciate, you know, so in other words, we're saying here, the character may be less, he will appreciate the persons on the set, in the drama, who have less character. Right? And then the ones, the middling, they'll explain the middle guys, and then the superior guys, like this. So you understood that everyone's not going to appreciate everything about the drama. You know, but the point is as long as there's something you appreciate, that's enough. That's all that matters. That's why he was said, we wait till the end. So if there was a moment there that you really appreciated, the whole drama will be worthwhile. Like that. But if in the whole drama there was no moment, you'll consider it was not. So the faults stand. Various classes of spectator. Different are the dispositions of women and men, young and old, who may be of the superior, middling, or inferior type. And on such dispositions, the success of a drama rests. Young people are pleased in seeing the presentation of love. The learned, a reference to some religious or philosophical doctrine. The seekers of money, topics of wealth. And the passionless, topics of liberation. Heroic persons are always pleased with the odious and the terrible sentiments, right? Because then the terrible and the odious means that there's going to be some valor has to be done to overcome it, right? The personal combats and battles. The odious and terrible sentiments, the personal combats and battles, the heroic. And the old people entails a verse. What you can do here is after battles, put a semicolon.
Yes.
Yeah. And the old people in values of virtue and Puranic legends. And the common women, children, and inferior men are always delighted with the comic presentations and remarkable costumes and makeup. Like that. Yeah.
That's like comedy movies.
Generally,
everybody.
Yeah, you always had the Vidushak. It was completely comic. Yeah.
And then nowadays, the trends shifted. In South, all the main actors should have play a comedy role themselves.
Oh, within the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Earlier, it was not like that.
No. There was a specific person. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
You don't appreciate the sangati of the inferior characters with the superior. So the superior character should have both sides. He should play that inferior aspect of Vidusha calls.
Oh, okay. Well, here it's also saying the general.
Yeah.
It says common women and children. Mm-hmm. Like that. It means if they're of a more educated position, then they're in that group.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just saying the common women, common children, and the inferior men, mm-hmm. then they're going to prefer these.
That's the maximum audience nowadays.
Yeah, so nowadays that's basically everyone's unqualified. So.
Hero has to play the comedy role.
Yeah, interesting, because it has to be all of it. It has to be valorous, it has to be comedic, it has to be romantic.
Everything in one person.
Yeah, that's true.